good way to kill time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible tonight. Turn to Numbers chapter 14. For those of you that weren't here this morning, I had an extremely hard time doing that. Of course, it is hard when you spell Numbers, E-X-O-D, and I don't know how to spell Exodus. So, I don't want to preach out of it. You got it? Numbers 14? Anybody got it? I don't want to preach out of it. I just want to see if I can do it. So, let's go now to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Amen. Good to see my friends here tonight, Brother Gilbert and Brother Eugene. Amen. I've known these fellas for a while, and glad it came out. Acts chapter 11 tonight, and verse 26. And the Bible says this, and when he had found him, and now the he and the him is Barnabas and Saul. All right? Saul was a new convert. He'd been away. Tarsus, according to verse 25. And Barnabas left the revival in Antioch and went to find him, to seek him. And he found him. And it says, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, brought him to church, beloved. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. So what we're doing here tonight is scriptural. Assembling is scriptural. As a matter of fact, it's a command. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day is approaching. The day is approaching, beloved. Every time somebody in any kind of national position, whether it's this country or another, every time I hear of a speech, I see the day approaching. Every time some idiot makes a statement about Palestine or Israel, amen, I just feel like saying, Lord, did you hear that? Because surely, and I'll tell you what, it's not going to be long. Amen. But we're doing what the Bible says to do by being assembled here tonight. And that's what Barnabas went and got Saul and didn't launch him into evangelism or missionary work. He brought him to assemble himself with a church for a year. And it says they and taught much people. And this is where we learn. And that's scriptural. But it goes on to say this. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's first mentioned. That's the first time the word shows up in your Bible. Amen. Now I say to you, I've been called a lot of things in my life. And most of them been bad. And most of them was true. Amen. But right now, best thing you could ever call Dave Spurgeon is a Christian. If there's anything that I want to be known for today, it's that I'm a Christian. Amen. I can't. But what I want you to see and point out that when at this point in time, this time in Antioch, that word Christian wasn't a compliment. It says the disciples were called Christians at first in Antioch. And let me just submit this to you, beloved. That was a derogatory slur. It was a slanderous remark. Amen. Listen, let's face it. We all know this to be true. Every group, every race, every nationality has a derogatory slur toward just about every other. That's why. Why? Because there's something about it when you're different that other people don't like. And these folks here got this designation, this nickname, if you will, because they were different. It wasn't a compliment because they came to Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't think people like being put under conviction back then in Antioch any more than they like being brought under conviction today. I don't think people flocked to Brother Gill and Brother Eugene today and said, oh, you guys are Christians. Here, please give us the Word of God. I don't think it's like that. You hear me? Wasn't like that then either. Bible says the disciples. Now that word comes from a root word, discipline. So these folks are dedicated. These folks put some effort into to being what? Christ-like. And I'll tell you what, it got some people's attention and they got themselves this name. And I just submit to you again that in my case, it's the greatest compliment you can give me. But there have been many times in church history, specifically this time, when it wasn't a compliment. It wasn't a compliment. These people were different. But you know what? They weren't different by reason of race. They weren't different by reason of nationality or language. These were inhabitants of Antioch. These were just regular folks. But something changed, see? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's what changed, and that's what got the attention of their neighbors. It says the disciples were called Christians first, and Antioch, and that's because they got in Christ. Let me submit to you tonight that it's okay to come as you are. And we don't have a dress code. Amen. It's okay. You're welcome to come as you are. But can I say this to you? If you ever get in Christ, you won't leave as you came. You'll never be the same. And you'll never be sorry if you get in Christ. Amen. Say, what changed, Brother Spurgeon? Take your Bible, go to Mark chapter 5. Now, this is one of my favorite passages of the Bible. It deals with a fellow that we affectionately call the Maniac of Gadara. I don't know about you, but that's my crowd right there. Amen. Often bound with fetters and chains. This guy's a repeat offender. Amen. Bible says, neither could any man tame him. Boy, nothing of the world could do anything for this guy. But it said in verse 6 there, Mark 15, says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He ran toward him. Not the direction some of you ran. Not the direction somebody might be running tonight. This guy got some help because finally, when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and let me read it, and worshiped him. Is that what it says? Did I miss anything? That's verse 6. And you know the story, don't you? Look at verse 15. Our Lord cast the devil out of him like he did some of us. But it doesn't stop right there. He didn't just let him go on his way. Yeah. All right? Devil free. It says, verse 15, it says, and they come to Jesus. That's the town folks that heard about this. When supernatural things happen in people's lives, it gets people's attention. Yeah. Of course, what you see from this passage is not always favorable. Amen. Some of you have experienced the same thing he did. He got so straightened out, it scared people, and they asked Jesus to leave before it was over. I'm going to tell you what, that's happened to some of us in here tonight. Amen. Some of us got too saved. Amen. Found we weren't welcome in the old crowd. Some of us found out we weren't welcome in the family. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, God's given you a new crowd and a new family, and you're welcome. Amen. Verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was. You know, I don't know about you, but there's something about past tense I like. Amen. Was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Here's what's happening. Now watch. Sitting. His actions changed. Yeah. Before he's running around like a madman. And it says clothed. His appearance changed. Amen. Luke chapter 8 says he was naked. I tell you something, by scriptural standards, there's a lot of nakedness in our country today. Amen. It's rampant. Now, that's one thing I remember our pastor saying years ago when I first got saved. It is getting to be fall, and we're from Ohio, so weather's similar. And he says, well, I'm glad winter's coming. And I was a biker. I'm never glad winter's coming. Yeah, I mean, I don't play in the snow. I don't ski. I don't snowmobile. I try to figure out how to get to Florida. And the Lord said, well, be an evangelist. And I went, praise the Lord, that works. Amen. Amen. But preacher said, I'm glad winter's coming. I said, why? He said, because people will start putting their clothes back on. Thank God it gets cold. People put their coats on. Amen. Hold on. I can see where we're going here. Amen, Brother Spurgeon. Okay. No problem. I'm going to help you out tonight. I will amen myself if I need to. Okay. Clothes. His action changed. He's sitting. He's clothed. And then it says in his right mind. His attitude changed. I don't know about you, but mine did too. Amen. And I didn't need usher to take up an offering for me when I was lost. I took my own offering up. We'll leave that alone right there. Amen. And it's amen. But hey, listen. Things changed in this guy's life. And listen, I can relate. You ever heard that saying? I resemble that remark. Do you? Do you resemble that remark? Did something change when you got in Christ? If so, you probably experienced a little bit about what these folks experienced. It says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The Bible says that, so here's what we want to do, because we care about the Bible, right?
Yes.
I want to preach this thought tonight. What is a scriptural Christian? Not a contemporary Christian, not a modern Christian, not a liberal Christian. I don't care about none of that stuff. But I do want to be a scriptural Christian. Amen. I got saved because somebody came and showed me what the Bible said. I didn't go from one club to another one. I got saved and I became a Christian. So let's look at that. What is a scriptural Christian? It said the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I'd like Brother Eugene to pray for this message tonight. Would you do that for me, brother?
Tonight. We thank you for the word of God you preserve. Inspire, Lord God, Father. Thank you for the man of God, Lord. Tonight, Lord, empower him now. Put your hand on him. Wash, fill him, power, sprinkle him, God, Father. Lord, you just say by grace, you call and preach, oh God, empower now. Father, feed your sheep, oh God, Father. We need the word of God. Oh Lord, this wicked, Lord God, perverse, dark day, oh God, Father. Feed your sheep. Give us strength. Give us power. Give us a recharging, Lord God, Father. Back out there and lift up the precious name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we want to be called Christians like it did in Antioch.
Yes.
So Lord, help us now. Bless now. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. All right. Thank you. All right. Now, what is a scriptural Christian? Now, according to Noah Webster, he wrote a dictionary. Amen. A little while back. Let me see. You don't want me doing the math. For almost 200 years. Amen. 1828, he says this, here's how he defines the word Christian. It says, starts out like this, a real disciple of Christ. Well, you know, right away that indicates what? It implies what? That there are some disciples of Christ that aren't real. I'm going to tell you what, you've done much personal work at all, you've run into some of them. You've run into some cults. You've been run into some heretics. Some of you got saved out of some of that mess. Amen. So a Christian tonight is a real disciple of Christ. And it goes on and says, one who believes in the truth of Christianity. You realize that this morning and in the Eastern time zone, there were millions of people in churches today that don't even believe that we have the truth of Christianity. Amen. But a Christian believes in the truth of Christianity. And beloved, it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. truth. The King James Bible is the truth of Christianity. Amen. And so that disqualifies a few folks right there. And then a definition goes on to say this. And studies.
Ooh.
Amen. Might have eliminated a few people there. And studies to follow the example of and to obey the precepts of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. Amen. I'm saved. Okay, good. I'm glad. Glad you had enough sense to admit to yourself that your sins were going to take you to devil's hell. I'm glad you had enough sense to take the fire escape when somebody pulled the ladder down for you. But now we're talking about the next step. Now we're talking about going on out of gratitude for what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and we're talking about growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about being scriptural Christians, regardless if it might get us a little negative press. I tell you what Christians are lacking these days is backbone. That book says in Romans chapter 10, boy, we love verse 9 and 10. We love verse 13. But verse 12 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Amen.
Amen.
I told a federal judge, looking at 7 years in prison, he said, what are you going to do with your life, Mr. Spurgeon? And I said, well, I'm going to study the Bible in whatever prison you send me to today. I'm going to study the Bible because, Your Honor, I gave every ounce of energy I had to the devil for 37 years. I'm going to give every ounce of energy I got left to Jesus Christ. Amen. That judge didn't even send me to prison. He gave me 1,000 hours of community service, telling others how I got off dope, how I got off liquor, how I got off the game. I told him I got in on the one-step program. Yeah, I stepped down into the presence of the King. He saved me. Amen. One who studies, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's that simple. You got two choices. You can study that Bible and be approved unto God, or you can be ashamed of yourself because you don't. Now, they're both there, and they both revolve around that right there. And a Christian studies to follow the example of and obey the precepts of Jesus Christ. Now, you ain't going to find them anywhere else. You can wear a WWJD bracelet, necklace, T-shirt, and headband. I've seen all that. My wife, she was at a Walmart at one time, and she had a sweatshirt on with a scripture verse on it. And some guy came up. I know what he's doing in the ladies' clothes. I ain't going there. But he came up to her and tapped her on the shoulder. He said, excuse me. And my wife turned around and got ready to, you know, and she said, yeah, how can I help you? And he whispered, he looked around and he went, WWJD. Yeah, what was that? He is identifying himself as a Christian. He had to whisper, amen. My wife looked at him and said, yeah, have a nice day. Get out of here. Amen. Yeah, what is that? Is there a secret handshake that goes with that? I didn't get the instruction manual. But hey, there's people that'll say that. And they don't know enough about their Bible to know that Jesus Christ said anything else but turn the other cheek and judge not, lest you be judged. You know, there's a little more in there than that.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I wouldn't give them people the time of day as far as giving them credit for being a scriptural Christian. Now, if they're saved, it ain't up to me to straighten them out. They'll get straightened out one of these days. Amen. But I know this. I want to be a scriptural Christian.
Amen.
And I know this about you. So do you. Amen. And so that's how it is. Short Reader's Digest definition of the word Christian is what? Christ-like.
Amen.
I'm just going to say this to you. Amen. I know a bunch of people, now I've been saved a little while now, and I know a bunch of people that I've seen get saved, and man, I'll tell you what, some of them, prayer was better than the one I prayed. I got no reason to doubt they got saved. But I'll tell you something else. Their testimony, their life, their actions, appearance, and attitude since they've prayed that prayer does not line up with the definition of Christian. And I'm not saying that cost them their salvation. I'm not saying that. I'm not preaching that. That'd be foolish. But I'd say this. I don't want that to be the case with me. I want to be a scriptural Christian. Don't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. So much for the introduction. The title tonight again, what is a scriptural Christian? Take your Bible, go to Acts 13. Act 13, I'll just run this thing down. I got about 19 points, so it stays dark, light, late. You'll be all right. You know, if Brother Dean can sing 27 songs, you know I can preach for more than 15 minutes, right? Amen. That all goes together. We're not cutting one short for the other, right? Right? Let me see. Right? Right? I didn't get six, brother. I didn't get six. Okay, we're back now. Amen. Okay. Acts chapter 13. I can tell you this right now. I'm having more fun than some of you are. No, not really. There's a good crowd here, good spirit here, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. It says this. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from, I like that part, all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. I tell you something, forgiveness and justification by believing on Jesus Christ will do what religion could never do. Now, that is the context, and I'll show you that, too. It says that through this man, and you can back all the way up to verse 23 and get who he's talking about in black and white. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. That's who we're talking about, okay? And it says that through him is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now let me tell you tonight that the first step, no matter what, you can't get around it, the first step toward being a scriptural Christian is to be forgiven. Is to be forgiven. You've got to be forgiven. Can I just say, it's good to be forgiven. It's good to be forgiven. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. I like that. I like that blotted out thing. Blotted out. I like that part where it says that our sins are in the depths of the sea. Over there in my Bible, I got that underlined and then some waves scribbled onto the page and a no fishing sign right there. That's what, when God saved you, he put your sins in the depths of the sea. When you got the forgiveness that came at the cost of the cross of Calvary, your sins went into the deepest part of the sea, and even the devil can't get them out. I don't know about you, I like that. I like that. I gave you the verse this morning. I like that it came up in some song tonight. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that idea of being forgiven. Listen, a scriptural Christian tonight is a forgiven person. Are you? Amen. Tonight, are you forgiven? Do you have the forgiveness of sins that came at the cost of God's only begotten Son who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works? You got it tonight? Are you forgiven tonight? Well, I hope so. Because that's the ground floor. Like Brother Dean said, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
Scriptural Christian gets forgiveness. It's a crying shame and a sad truth. But that's as far as some folks go. Some folks just never get past getting their sins forgiven, never make the break, never get away from the flesh running the show or get out of the old life far enough to enjoy the fruits and benefits and the precious promises of being a Christian on this side. Amen. That's too bad. I hope that's not your case tonight. Let me tell you something tonight. A saved person, a sinner that repents of his sin, believes on Jesus Christ and gets saved, is a forgiven person. We got that in common with the person that never gets any farther. But if you want to be a scriptural Christian, there's more to it than just believing on Christ. There's more to that, to being a scriptural Christian, than just getting forgiven. And say, what's that? I'm so glad you asked. Amen. Because I'm fixing to take the next 2 hours and tell you. Somebody, when you say things about time, it makes people nervous. You know, I like making people nervous. I've been doing it for 30 years. Amen. Now I do it with the Bible. They're more nervous about that than they were at 45. I don't know what the deal is. Amen. And somebody said, well, I thought you preachers were supposed to make us feel better. Yeah, I had a preacher come into a jail cell 20 years ago, and here I am with all these problems, you know, banging my tin cup on the bars. Woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And a preacher comes in and says, I don't know what you're here for, but when you die in your sin, you're going to bust hell wide open. And I thought, thanks. That was cheerful. That was great. Thank you. Thank you. I needed that. 30 years in prison and hell too. Thank you very much, preacher. That guy didn't come in and cheer me up. The guy came in and tell me the truth. Amen. That Bible doesn't say, and you shall feel good, and the feeling good shall make you free. Hey, there's places, I tell you what, it seems to me like there's places that must believe that, must have a doctrinal statement. Let's all just do a big group hug. I'm kidding. Get away from me. I'm glad my wife isn't in here. Amen. Amen. All right. But that's not it. That's not it. Ephesians chapter, one of them, they're all good. Ephesians chapter 4. What is a scriptural Christian? A little more than just getting saved. But number one tonight, scriptural Christian is a forgiven person. But let's look at verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Here's some attributes of a scriptural Christian that aren't real popular with our militant crowd. But it's Bible, and it's doctrinal for us as New Testament believers. The Bible says this, what a concept, and be kind one to another. Yeah, you read it. Tender-hearted. Oh, I thought I was supposed to be a tough guy. Toughest man that ever lived. Was the most tender-hearted man of all. And he said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in the heart. Amen. That's what it says. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Yeah. Is that what your Bible says? If it doesn't, see me. Well, I've got a King James for you. Amen. Listen, listen, listen. A scriptural Christian is not only forgiven, it's good to be forgiven. It's good to be pardoned. Good to have our sins blotted out. But I just want to let you know that if you're going to even begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're ever going to have an effect on anybody, you're ever going to do anything for God, you're ever going to be a blessing to anybody, you're going to have to get a hold of the fact that a scriptural Christian is a forgiving person. Now we know that. We know that because we know things like this. We know that it says in Matthew 18 and verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall thy brother sin against me? My brother sin against me and I forgive him. Well, he went to the right place to ask. And then he said, till seven times. That was Peter's concept of Christianity. Seven times. That's six more than most of us. Maybe seven more. I don't know. And verse 22 there in Matthew 18, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's what the Lord had to say about forgiveness. And I know some of you are trying to do that, but you're counting, see? So you're going, 479, 480, 10 more times and no more. It's not literal. What's the point? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. I stopped there on purpose. Here's what we do. Now, we know we're supposed to forgive. We see the verse. We're Bible believers. We know what Jesus' teaching was on it and the point he was trying to make. I forgave you, you forgive them. Okay? But here's why we don't. Even though we know that we shouldn't hold a grudge, even though we know what the Bible says about bitterness in the same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, Bible says verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. We like that, don't we? We like that. And then it gives you a list of things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Look at the first thing on the list. Bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness defiles. We've got to, listen, if you're going to be a scriptural Christian, okay, you've got to learn to be forgiving. Amen. Here's why we don't. We know we're supposed to, so we don't come in giving each other the evil eye across the aisle. So we know not to do that. You'll get somebody's attention. Pastoral, try to work things out. So we just smile and look each other in the face and shake each other's hand and kiss on the cheek. And boy, right there, man, we harbor things that we seem to forget that God's all well aware of. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God knows what's going on in the heart, even though you might be playing games because you think you're justified. That's what we're supposed to forgive. And then here's what, within our own spirit, we say, but. You know what? Within each individual experience, we all find reason to think that we're the exception. We're going to get away with sin. I know everybody else, God's not mocked, will reap. No, but me, that's why we get in trouble. We think, I'll be the exception. Yes, the Bible said to forgive, but, they said this, or they didn't say this, or they didn't shake my hand, or they didn't say hi, or they didn't make over the flowers that I gave, or they didn't. And we say, they said something about little Johnny or little Susie, who are probably little devils when you're not around anyway. God preaches! Amen. Amen. Listen, those are the things that cause offenses in churches and people get at odds with one another and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I see it. This is what I see traveling around. Amen. And we find ourselves justified. I'll be the exception. That's what you think in your own heart. Let me tell you what. You're not going to be the exception. I'm going to tell you what you are going to be. You're going to be an illustration of how not to do it. Because when you make a mess, because you think you don't have to get with it, then we'll use you as an example and try to save somebody else. But you know what? If you get a hold of this thing here and now, there's still hope for you. Scriptural Christians are a forgiving person. And we come up with reasons why we're not going to, and here's how it goes. But they did. They said. And God, you know what God does? You know how God handles that? He doesn't argue about that. He doesn't sit down and go over. He just says, okay, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah, they didn't do you right. You've never done anything wrong, but somebody did. Yeah, you're right. Fine. God cuts to the chase. Here's what he says. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Is that what it says?
Amen.
Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Amen.
See? He doesn't say, oh no, it wasn't that bad. You need to get a grip. You know what he does? He just cuts to the chase. You know what he says? Well, you may think you have a reason to hold a grudge or to be bitter or not to forgive. Maybe you do. Maybe you think you do. But let me put it in this light. This is what God says in that verse. He says, nobody has ever done anything to you that even remotely begins to compare with what your sin did to my son. And he says, and I forgave you. Now what is it again? What is it again that you find that you can justify unforgiveness? Amen, brother. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I'm going to tell you what, I worry about a person that can't grasp what I just said. I understand the pride. I understand the flesh. But if you can't grasp what I just said, when I put it in terms of even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, I'm going to tell you what might be the problem. Maybe he's never forgiven you. Maybe you need to go back to square one and get in on his forgiveness. And it'll be a lot easier for you to forgive others. Amen and amen. Scriptural Christian is a forgiven person. Hallelujah. We got to do better now. I mean, I brought my cheerleaders. I'm glad they're here. Can you guys come every night? And but listen. Hey, it's good. Help me out. It's good to be forgiven. Yeah. Oh my. Amen. Yeah, you got that right. With gasoline britches on. I don't know where that came from, but I wouldn't like to experience it. Amen. Okay. Proverbs 18. Number three. This is not a series. I hope that water wasn't supposed to last me all week because I'm going to be done with it after this message. I don't need any more, but I'm going to need some tomorrow. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. And the Bible says this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I got friends in Jesus Christ that are closer to me than family. Amen. Just in that aspect alone, let alone the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says in the beginning there, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That makes sense, doesn't it? Can I say to you that a scriptural Christian is a friendly person. A friendly person. I've been street preaching with got me and you was on the streets of Dover, Delaware 12 years ago, brother. You remember that? And I've been on the street with folks and they come back after street preaching and give a report at the church. Yeah, we were good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We went out there and we really skinned them. Skinned them. Hey, listen, I'm all for street preaching. I'm all for standing for the truth. But God doesn't call us out there to skin them. God calls us out there to win them. You know, when I got saved in jail, got out on bond 3 weeks later, came to the church because Pastor Tom Gresham wouldn't quit bugging me. I mean, to come and show my gratitude. Yeah, man, he got on my nerves. I had to go to church and get him off my back. And when I got there, you know, I was apprehensive. Here I am, hair down the middle of my back, black leather jacket. You know, I did have enough sense to take the earring out. Amen. Things have changed. Now they're getting extras. And I know guys, man, they look like they fell face first into somebody's tackle box. I don't get it. This shows hurt too, don't they? Amen. And anyway, I'm going to Midland now. I know. It's early in the week too, isn't it? Amen. So, I go in there, and I figure, you know, these people, they're not going to want me in their church. These people got no idea who they got in here now. I was a sinner, you know. But they knew something I didn't know. They knew they were too. You know what? God put me in a little church where people were more concerned about what I'd let Jesus do than anything I'd ever done. What are you trying to say? They were friendly. They were nice. They took me completely off guard. I couldn't figure it out. They were nice to me. Oh, we're glad. We've been praying for you, they said. I said, really? Yeah. I'm going to tell you what impression it made on me. That was December 23rd, 1990. Sunday morning. I didn't know people went to church on Sunday night. I didn't know. But I went back that night. And then I went back to the midweek service. And I went back the next Sunday. And that's been 20 and a half years, and I've been going back. You know why? Because, I mean, my first, you know, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And my first impression of a church, the people were friendly. And the Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. You're not going to force people to come to your church. Here's an invitation. Be there. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, right. Hold a door for me, you know. Not going to happen. If you're going to have an effect on your community, if you're going to show them about what a Christian's really like, if you're ever going to invite anybody to church or even get them to read a gospel tract, You better learn to be friendly. I mean, let's just face it. Isn't that probably how you were first drawn? Affected? Hey, nobody made me do anything. Nobody, not only God made me do anything except I got saved. Amen. And He does it regularly. Scriptural Christian is a friendly person. Can I tell you, we're talking about derogatory nicknames. Do you know what they called Jesus Christ? In Matthew 11 and verse 19, they call Him a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, that wasn't a compliment. That was derogatory. But you know what truth is? It was true. I'm glad tonight. I'm glad that He's a friend of publicans and sinners. Amen. Listen. A scriptural Christian knows that even though God hates sin, the Bible says, but God commended His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? I tell you what, I see traveling around. I see some Christians that have some pretty short memories. Oh, they're glad God saved them. But their attitude isn't getting anybody else in. I'll illustrate it like this. I'd been saved about a year. I had a motorcycle. I was talking to these brothers this afternoon. I had motorcycles for a long time, a lot of different stuff. And after I got saved, God showed me to sell them and leave them behind. I had three of them, nice Harleys. Let me make that point clear. First spring after I hadn't had my first spring without a motorcycle since the 70s. This is in 91. I was doing okay. I was in a minivan. That right there was proof that I was saved, as far as I was concerned. I got to be born again. I never thought I'd get in one of these things. I'm in the back seat, and there's a couple guys in the front that were in church, and they were ruffians, you know. They got in a couple of fist fights, cut from the same cloth, believe me. And we pulled up to a traffic light. It was spring in Ohio. It's beautiful out. Weather's beautiful. It springs in the air. And I started, I had this itch. I didn't know what it was, but it was my first spring without a bike. And the bikes are starting to appear on the street, coming out from the winter. And we're sitting in this light, and I can hear it. I'm going to tell you something. I can just about tell you what year a shovel head it was. What exhaust system it had without ever seeing it. I mean, that's what I did for a long time. And I hear this bike, and it's sounding good, and it's running good, and it's getting closer, and I am anticipating it crossing. We were at a red light, and I hear it coming. And man, it came into view. Nice bike, chopped a little bit. Nice paint job, nice chrome, looked good. Everything was proportionate, wasn't some goofy thing. And I'm checking it out, and I'm not lusting after it. God said, get rid of mine. He knew what they were to me. I'm not preaching against motorcycles, so, you know, you feel led to put a title in the plate. It's coming around tomorrow night. Amen. So I just, you know. But this thing came into view, and I was admiring it. And then this guy had been saved 10 years. He's in the front seat. You know what he said? He said, look at that jerk. And I, you know, it never occurred to me to look at the guy because I like that, you know. And so I look up, and here there's a guy sitting on his motorcycle, got a ponytail, got sunglasses on, got tattoos, got a vest on, sleeves cut off, he got a vest on, and there he's, what I'm saying. I look at a guy, he looked just like, you know, our guys used to look. It's like a regular guy riding. I reach for it, and in my kind, gentle demeanor, for which I'm famous, I leaned forward and I tapped him on the shoulder like that. I said, hey. I leaned right over by him and I said, hey, that's what you just said about me a year ago, isn't it? Yeah, his face got real red because nobody knew. Back then in the early days, nobody ever knew what I might do at any given point. And there's some still wondering. Sometimes I wonder. I had a guy get in my face one time, and I said, you better back off, Jack. He said, you can't do nothing. You're a Christian. I said, I ain't been saved that long. That's what I ain't telling you how that one ended. It is the case for me. Chances are, it was the case for you. Nobody won me to Jesus Christ with that spirit. Look at that jerk. If anybody had gotten my face on the street, like I've seen some street preachers getting people, if anybody would have ever approached me that way, the next time they street preach, they'd be doing it with no teeth. And I'd still be on my way to hell. That's not how we're going to win a lost and dying world, by acting like a bunch of jerks. A scriptural Christian is a friendly person. And you can be doctrinally straight and no compromiser, but you know, God does ask us to use a little sense. All right. Scriptural Christian tonight. Man, that's only page one. All right. I got some more. Let me see what God would have you to have. How about this? Scriptural Christian is a fearless person. Fearless. It says in Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, a scriptural Christian is fearless in this respect. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean stupid. Okay? But fearless, let me just say this about fear. Fear produces worry. I came up with this myself, so if you want to write it down, I'll go slower. Fear produces worry, which produces stress, which produces excuses for not doing anything for God. Amen. Should I give you more time? No, you got it. Okay. All right. And 2 Timothy 1 and verse 17 says this. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you've got a spirit of fear in you, I just want to say you didn't get it from God. You got it from that other guy. A scriptural Christian is a fearless person. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. Scriptural Christian is not afraid to live for God. That's what I mean. That's what the liberty we have that comes with the presence of the Spirit of the Lord is. We have the liberty to live for Jesus Christ. You couldn't do that before you got saved. You lived for yourself. And if you're not careful, you'll go back to living for yourself. Bible says we're not henceforth to live unto ourselves, but unto him that died and rose again. Amen. Scriptural Christian's a fearless person. Scriptural Christian's a faithful person. See, they're going faster now. Don't get upset. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Boy, we know something like that. But a faithful man, who can find? God puts a lot of emphasis on the importance of faithfulness. Bible says in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Scripture Christians, faithful. You know what we need to do? We need to be faithful. You know, if we could get faithfulness down pat, the other virtues would follow. It's like that thing about loving the Lord first and your neighbor, and then on this hang the law and all the prophets. Some of us worry about a little nickel dime things that, and we never get faithfulness. And you know what? There's truth. You got to put the horse before the cart if you're ever going to get town. And the first thing on the list in 2 Peter chapter 1, that list over there is add to your faith. Faithfulness. If we could be faithful to read our Bibles. If we could be faithful to pray. If we could be faithful to come to church. Yeah, I don't know, we believe the Bible here. Faithful man shall abound in blessing. If we be faithful to give, amen, when we can, God knows. If we'd be faithful to witness, you know, when we have opportunity. I'm not talking about standing out in the middle of 278 and throwing tracts of cards. I'm not talking about pulling God. You know what, maybe when you load up, you know, the uniform, you know. Some people don't carry tracts. I don't know what's wrong with you. Some people carry trash because they think it's part of the uniform. No, you're supposed to give those to people. Yeah, not just make sure that you don't get caught without them. I've got my tracks. No, take them out of your pocket. Give them to... Oh, yeah, we see them, man, all kinds out there. But they cost money. We'll get more money. We'll make more tracks. Give them out. We'd be faithful to witness. What if we just load up and then say, God, you know what I'm supposed to do today? And you know it's my desire to serve you. If would you give me an opportunity to say something for you? Would you give me an opportunity to hand out a tract? Amen. Amen. Not out of duty, not because, bless God, we're Bible. Right. Maybe because we ask God.
Amen.
And he does. He will. And if we'd be faithful to get, we don't always do right. Well, I told you this morning, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. You know, when you mess up, be faithful to get right. And be faithful to forgive others.
Amen.
But if we do that, the Bible says we'd abound with blessings. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says in Matthew 25, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Boy, I tell you what. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad that I'm not going to hell. I'm so glad I got to go to heaven in that order. I didn't even know you got to go to heaven. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I knew I deserved it. Amen. I'm glad. And then I read through my Bible, and I see that it's possible. It's a remarkable concept to me, knowing where God brought me from, that it's possible that the Lord Jesus Christ might say to this sinner right here, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can't even fathom that. But I'm going to tell you what, if it's possible, I'd sure like to hear it. You don't really think anybody's going to hear, well done, thou good and unfaithful servant, do you? Nobody's going to hear that. Amen? So if you want the Lord to be well pleased with you, but to do good and to communicate, forget not for such sacrifice, God is well pleased. You ever want God to say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, like he did the Lord in the end of Matthew chapter 3? If you ever want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, then you're going to have to be faithful.
Amen.
Faithful Christian. Forgiven Christian. Forgiving Christian. Friendly Christian. Fearless Christian. Simple, simple message tonight. Are you a scriptural Christian? Are you a scriptural Christian? I'm not asking if you're saved. I'm not asking if you have a King James Bible. I'm not asking if you're a church member. I'm not asking that stuff. And I don't even want an answer for this question, but I want you to answer it within your own spirit. Are you a scriptural Christian? Scriptural. I just give you scripture tonight. I got a lot more. But the Lord said that's enough. So that's the question you need to answer. I like it like this. Like I spoke to you this morning, I don't know if I like them, but I'm familiar with legal terms. I like it this. I heard it like this one time. It said, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to get an indictment?
Wow.
Yeah, if you were accused. If they took you before the grand jury and said, this person, we're accusing him of being a Christian. You know, would the grand jury say, nah, not enough evidence.
Wow.
I believe that's going on. Listen, there's a little more to being a Christian than just showing up at church on Sunday. About 50 million Catholics did that this morning.
Yes, right.
They're not Christians. You hear me? But if we would be, more of them would be. And Muslims too. If we'd be scriptural Christians, then the Lord could use us to win some more people to Christ. I know that. I'm just got to tell you, this is not about you and me and our church and how we feel and what we think. It's not about that. It's about Him. Amen. You better be living for Him because you're going to give an account to Him. And it's going to be about what you did with what He did for you. Well, you need to think about that. And I'll get out of the way. But I'm going to say this first. Acts 26, verse 28, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Boy, I'm glad I got all together, like Paul said, like the song, fully persuaded. Amen. Because almost is 100% lost. Almost persuaded. Amen. Is not going to get it. I hope you're saved in here tonight. And then if you are, let's take an effort, make an effort, do whatever we got to do this week. It's early in the week. Pray the Lord. And so that when it's all said and done, we'd be pleasing to God and better off ourselves and be scriptural meat for the master's use. That's what we need. Father, I love you tonight. Again, come to you in the name that is above every name. Thank you for the liberty that I prayed and asked for. Pray you'd touch my wife.